So firstly, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Warm reception. Thank you very much. Yes, thank the Branchers, as long as they're here, even if they're from Wits. And Ali Schneck, and Bitsion Shapansky, and all my boys. So, Baruch Hashem, you know, we have the chance to have Mussar Vadim and to work on topics of Mussar. You know, yeshiva is not just about working on a sugya in the morning, but also sugyas of Mussar, which are definitely very kedai for a person to occupy his mind and his heart, thinking about, focusing on. I think tonight's topic is an important topic. It's an important sugya for guys to get into, if they're not into this particular sugya yet. I'm labeling this vod from selfishness to selflessness. I'll explain what both ideas are. I'll start with a simple couple of tzirim. Guys are playing basketball, and you have a guy on the team who's quite talented. You know, he could split the D. He has no problem creating his own shot. And he does it again and again and again. In my days, you used to call the guy a chucker. But he is quite talented in shooting. If he hits half his shots, that's pretty good. He hits a third of his shots, it's not as good. But passing is not his forte, even though he's playing point guard. We would say about such a person that he might be a good player, but probably the term you would use to describe him, he's a selfish player. It's not as much about the team as it is his own stats. We know that concept to be true in the broader world. I'm sure there are players in different leagues that behave like that. But we know these issues filter to yeshiva too. Let me give another yeshiva example. At the beginning of this man, you go, the official list when it goes up, the dorm rooms, and you see the list of the guys in the dorm room. This is your reaction. The moment you see the list of the three other guys in your room, how am I? Four or five guys in your room, you say to yourself, it's over. By the time that list goes up, oh my gosh, if that guy's in my room, and that guy's in my room, and that guy's in my room, there's no chance I'll ever have a decent bed. Why won't I have a decent bed? Because that's the guy who always, he could be in another state, and I live in North Miami Beach, somehow he's going to end up in the dorm room saving a bed before I could. No, I've tried my first 2 years already, but this guy always ends up in the dorm room before me. And he doesn't take the top bunk bed. Let's say that. He always takes the best one. And not only does he take the best one, he's the guy who flips all the mattresses, takes the best mattress. That guy.
And reserves the other one.
Now, the word to describe that is selfish. Some people might use the word pig. But, a little harsh, but that is a description of midos that happens. I'll tell you, now if the first two tzirim, you didn't realize what was wrong about it, then we have a different problem. That vod is not for tonight. That's called midos 101. I'm a little more advanced, okay? If you want, we'll bring you back, you know, I think 12th graders maybe, I don't know. But I think they're past that. But this vod is assuming you understand that there's something critically wrong in being selfish. That's the assumption. Michelle's window, I want to snip in that line. Somebody already said it tonight. It was a cool thing. What happened was everyone thought I was going to sit over there. So they set up their seats, the battleground, to be okay, cross from right back here. Then I pulled the fast one on them. I sat over here. So then the guy was, people were complaining. Oh, yeah, no. I said, aren't you happy for those guys that they got their first, that they have a great seat? He's like, no, don't you know by Yiddishkeit, you know, you have to be selfish? I'm not sure the Mount of Gehenna whoever was machadish that line. Now, it might be a Rebbe too, but what can you do? The amount of Gehenna that whoever was machadish such an idea that you have, when it comes to ruchnius, you have to be selfish. One second. Is there a certain amount of truth to that line? Yes, there's a certain amount of truth to that line. But to what guys extrapolate what that means, it's way beyond, you know, like, forget about Orat Sofon, which is more sophisticated. It's like Orcha Sadikim, Asilas Yesharim, like, but no, but they know that mimer. That mimer, like, is has Kedima. It's like Docha. Right? And if they say it in wits, it gets even more so, right? Some places think it's a mitzvah to figure out chavrusas 2.5 years in advance. Right? But again, ruchnius, you gotta be selfish, 100%.
Rebbe's being serious, but it doesn't apply to the commentary, right?
Huh?
It doesn't actually apply to the commentary, right?
It applies to everything. Now, everyone's gonna hawk by the Rashiva share. Did everyone fight for the first seed and for this? Okay, we'll go through all the Bekiyas Kashas, and there might be certain instances where the right thing to do is, look, you do have to, you want to be able to grow in Ruchnius. That's definitely true. And Rabbi Neumann, that's how I might have used the lashon, that sometimes you have to use your elbows, like getting on a bus on a Friday afternoon by the coast. So I know all the stories. But Afal Pikein, anyone who would come out of that, that there is a Yesod HaChayim, which somehow people play by, the amount of time I hear people quote this to me, oh, Rebbe, but the Ruchnius, you have to be selfish. Yeah. Buddy, your selfishness does not come from Ruchnius. It comes from bad midos. That's where it comes from. So, now that I already dropped the bomb.
It's right there.
So, right? So let me expand on this topic a little bit. This week's Parsha, we have the Maisa of Rachel giving over the Simonim to Rivka, to Leah. And there's a famous Medrash, I'm sure most guys here know the Medrash. Medrash in Eicha Rabbah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to potentially bring the Geula to Klal Yisrael. And all the avos, everyone's, you know, being mevakish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please stop the suffering, stop the Beis HaMikdash from burning, stop Rachmanos on the terrorist attack, stop all the tsaras that are happening to Bnei Yisrael. So all the avos are involved in that fight. And Avram and Yitzchak both go up there with their tainas that, you know, we did the Akedah, tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. Yaakov Avinu comes with his, Moshe Rabbeinu talks about he was the Manig Yisroel for 40 years in the Midbar. Everyone puts all their chips on the table. And Lemaisa, nothing works. The one thing that works was Rachel coming and talking about her Maisa. Now, I was thinking about this matter. It's simple to hear. Like the Akedah, we all know is something amazing. We all know that's what we daven about, Yom Nerayim. But I don't think there's a person in this room that could honestly have a havmin that they could do an Akedah. Like, is this, wrap your mind around the cup. Yeah, Hashem's going to ask me to kill my kid. I'm ready to do that. Not because I hate my kid, whatever bad reasons I might have. But with a shame Hashem, like, we cop the Akedah, we get the Akedah, it was a big deal. But I don't think the Akedah plays any role in our daily lives. Like, I'm going to be more Moser Nefesh because I'm revealing to the Akedah. Like, it's hard to grasp. Moshe Rabbeinu being a manig, yeah, that I think we could understand. But Rachel giving over the Simanim, I think very much people could appreciate. Right? To do something, to put someone else's, hear it with someone else's pain in front of your own, you could realize that. Look, I don't want my sister to be embarrassed. But at the same time, if I'm going to step in, help my sister, I'm going to be hurting myself. If someone would do that for us, we'd be very machshavet. If we saw someone else doing it, even without us being the beneficiary, we'd also be very machshavet. And it's the type of thing that we, you know, where somewhere inside all of us, I think we would want to be the type of person that could do that. So tonight's Vod we hope, try to get some practical etzos, try to go from selfishness to selflessness, to see how we could mamash follow in the ways of Rachel Imenu, to be a little bit less selfish and a little bit more selfless. That's the goal of the next half hour. Now, before we go off and talk about how to become selfless, I think we have to dwell a little bit more in selfishness. Someone just hacked me on the shmooze. They came across. Forgot to bring a chumash. And no one jump. Okay. I want you to be able to absorb every minute. Okay. You know, I'm giving you a heter. You don't have to be selfless. Please. I know by heart. I don't really know the chumash. It's okay. I'm only saying that so you can sit down. Now, the Svorno in Parshas Vayetze, it's Perichov Tez Pasuk Yud. Yaakov comes to the well, and he sees all these shepherds, like, basically bottling their time over there. So the first thing Yaakov does, gives him Musar. Like, you're working, you're paying paid on the clock, why are you guys just, like, bottling around? So they explain, so that itself is not much moves. The guy walks into town, and he's the first thing, you know, on mind, look, he sees someone doing something wrong. The right thing is to, you know, delicately address it. But he finds out there's a whole situation that they used to all get together to roll off that rock. And all the shepherds to come together and do it. And not only did they need each other to roll off the rock, it seems that they were also needed for each other to get the water. I'm not sure exactly the metzias, but it seems they were needed twofold to get the rock off. And for afterwards, for everyone to get the water properly, they all need to be there. Well, let's consider they need 10 people to be there. 8 of them were there. Yaakov Avinu sees that I could help out. These guys aren't working. I could fill them up with water and get them back to work. So he should, right away, as soon as he sees the situation, we know Yaakov Avinu was quite talented, quite strong. He could flip off the rock. So why didn't he do it? Svarno's bothered by. Svarno answers like this. Yaakov Avinu cheshbened that, granted, if I could take off the rock now and help these guys, and these guys go back to work. But he was choshed that these guys would either take all the water or would take the water and leave and not wait for their other friends who would come every day. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu cheshbened, I might be doing a chesed to these 8 guys, but I'll be, it's a suffik chav l'acherim, degrama of the other guys. So stam, it's a chiddush in Hilchos Ben Amal Chavera that I can't do a chesed to one person if the ramifications of that chesed might hurt another person in a backwards way. But I want to focus tonight. Yaakov Avinu assumed what the nature of people are. If I'm going to take this rock off now, even though every day all these shepherds came together, they needed each other. So what's going to happen? One day there's a strong man, Yaakov Avinu's there. They're all going to get their water and pack out. What about your buddies? Your buddy is 5 minutes away. But you know what human nature is? I get my stuff and I move on. But what about you? Every day I help out, we all help each other. What happens if I come late tomorrow? But the nature of people, unfortunately, is people are born selfish. Ask any baby, or better than that. Ask any baby's mother. Maybe you should ask the baby's father, but fathers are usually more selfish than the mothers. But people are born selfish. Yaakov Avinu makes this cheshbon not to do chesed because his assumption is, there's a good chance they're going to be selfish. I'm going to help out these 8 guys and they're going to pack out and the other 2 guys will be stranded without water. That's the nature of people. Selfishness is a midah, which the default setting, if you didn't work on it in your life, you have that midah. And if he didn't work on it, it only snowballs and gets worse and worse. I got to tell you a cool story. Keep the tapes on. But so, you know, everyone's thinks like one of the most complicated parshas in life is the Shidduch parsha, which is true. But I think there's a parsha more complicated than Shidduchim. And only guys in Chafetz Chaim know this. Or other places where they do such things, but it doesn't necessarily happen. It's called choosing a shutuf. A shutuf means a partner. I want to open a yeshiva. Who am I opening yeshiva together with? Who am I opening together with? So, in my time, in, you know, Baruch Hashem in yeshiva, I had lots of, you know, just, you know, people come to ask you, are you dating yet, shidduchim? So I used to have people come to ask me, am I shutufing yet? Am I ready to go out? Do I want to go with them? So I remember, you know, I looked into quite a few different shutufs. Well, some details, nah, most of them I won't give you.
Some?
But, so I remember one time seriously looking into a project, actually a pretty interesting project. So, what I decided to do, you know, I knew the guy from yeshiva, he was actually quite a few years older than me. He once were in the same chaburah, but he wanted to, he was hocking me to join him with to do this project. It wasn't that one. And so I was considering it. So I decided to do I called up a friend of mine who's brother-in-law with this guy. It's a big mile in Chavetz Chaim. Everybody's related to everybody. So I asked him, hey, you know, this guy called me about this project. What do you think about being a shutuf with this guy? And to this day, this guy, I owe him tremendous hakaras hatov, was a brother-in-law, but he was also my friend. So he wasn't selfish to help out his brother-in-law. He was selfless. He told me the following thing, which is such an amazing touch-up. He said, Yaakov, I don't think you should do it. The guy's very capable, machanach. This, I don't think you should do it. So I tried to pin him down exactly what. What are you saying? What's the pagam in this guy? Why shouldn't I do it with him? He's capable. He'd be able to do this in chinuch, that in chinuch. Why shouldn't I join together with this guy and do this project? He says, this is the feeling I get as a brother-in-law. Somehow, anytime there's a hack about something, this guy always wins. Whenever there's a hack, he always gets his way, one way or the other. That doesn't sound like a good ingredient for a shutuf. I hung up the phone. I remember exactly where I was. I was in my bedroom in the Opal. I had that phone. I remember I hung up the phone. It was poshet. I'm not going there. The guy could be a chashava, Talmud Chacham, went through the program. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be your shutuf, buddy. If you're selfish, if you always have to win, that's what your brother-in-law is saying about you, you have a problem. Now, it may not be apparent that most people see on a daily basis, and it won't come out in any situations. You can have a lot of friends, do well in yeshiva, rebbeim like him. This doesn't come out in the rebbeim relationship. It comes out in the guy relationship. It comes out in maybe, unfortunately, in the spouse relationship, in the children relationship. But somebody who's selfish, there's no doubt those midos that come across people that you spend time with. And the worst person you ever want to partner up to do something with is a selfish guy. Stay far away from selfish people. In your dorm room, what can you do? I went to put you there. Okay. To make the best of it. You have to learn how to be selfless, even to a selfish guy. But to me, that was like such a big deal. This is not just an issue of the shepherds in times of Yaakov Avinu. Today, inside yeshivas, inside the best of guys, a person who has the midah of selfishness, it's a plague. It's going to come across. It chas v'shalom could wreak its ugly head in marriage, with children, with talmidim. If the Rebbe always comes first, that's a little problem. But talmidim have to come first. It's about them. So that's a big midah. And it's an important midah for people to work on. So, the hair, there's a problem, and try to become better. And to whatever degree the famous mimer of you have to be selfish in Ruchnias, if you dare that you might have a problem with this outside of Ruchnias, then I'll run away from it like fire when it comes to Ruchnias too. Because you'll only be mechazik the same midah. How many shmuzim does Rashiva have that from good midos could come about bad things too? You know, from doing mitzvahs and doing things, you know. Right, one of our big sheets, hasmada. It's a good thing. Depends. This good thing depends. Lots of good things could lead to bad things. So you have to be very careful. Of course, there's a time and place where you're looking to grow, and that's important. But selfishness is a dangerous thing. And you become too selfish, you're ruined. I won't be your shutif. I won't recommend anyone else to be your shutif either. So, Lamaisa, now that I scared everybody, did a good job. So what's next? How do you become better? So just a few chazals, and I found some cool etzas. Some I found, some I thought of. We'll try. So if you open up a Nefesh HaChaim, and all you have to do is open up to the cover. You don't have to actually read the Sefer. Rabbi Harris loves quoting it. I'm sure the guys from Queens heard it in Queens. Chaim Volozhin's son writes in the Hakdama that we always heard from my father, right? That a person, lo la'atzmo nivra el l'chol achrini. A person is not created just for himself. He's created to help out others. That is a Chaim Volozhin. It's just like, you know, the Gra's big line with all the Gra's and all the Torah and everything the Gra had. His big line is Tachlas Achaim is Tikkun Amidos, right? First line in Evan Shlema. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, with all of the Gra's Torah and all his Torah, his line to live by is that, you know what? Your whole Tachas HaChaim is to help other people. Which I'll put that into Vod words. Your whole Tachas HaChaim is to be selfless. That's your goal in life. Baruch Hashem, you look around the firm world, there are a lot of selfless people. People running Hatzalah, people running yeshivas, people doing chesed, doctors. In the firm community. Anyone who's a doctor in the firm community, they're on call 24/7, 7 days a week. In shul, everywhere. There's so many firm people, are selfless people, the whole achrini. Yep. Obviously, our Batzis Torah plays a big role in that, but there are many firm people in all different areas that tremendously have the midah of chesed, of selflessness, of their whole Tachas HaChaim is to help out other people. It's amazing. I can tell, you can all tell stories after stories. So we'll get to all the steers after. Which Mitzvah Sashar? It's too interesting. Which one, huh? Yeah, so I you know, being the fact that Gra was like the big Mitzvah Sashar fan, and Chaim Volozhin was a big Gra fan, so I assume it's not. You know, and Mitzvah Sashar is just talking about practically your derech and avodas Hashem, but like you read the Hakdama there too, right? Halachta bedrachov. This is for sure, like part and parcel. Halachta bedrachov. The next step, which will preempt you too, right? The Bible, the Or Hatzafon, right? The altar here says like the Chiddush of Chidushim. He says it in multiple spots. He actually says it over here too, though it's not in the Or Hatzafon. I found the quote in a different sefer. But the altar says that a person has to be ready. What does it mean to be selfless? A person has to be ready to give up his ruchnias, to be a vater on his own ruchnias, to help out somebody else. Even to help out someone else's gashmias. That's why Avram Avinu gave up the highest madrega of nevuah they had with the Kadosh Baruch Hu just to do chesed with three Arabs off the street. And that's why Rachel was ready to give up. Rachel, by giving over the simanim to her sister, at that point in time was mevater on marrying Yaakov Avinu, on getting all the shvatim to come out from her. Pashup Shah, she would be nofel begoril shal Esav. She gave up her entire life, mevater on all of her ruchnias, by giving to somebody else. And Hagufa, that the altar spells out the line, it's being mevater, but that gufa is chesed. That chesed in Slavoka lingo, chesed is a tachlas achayim. That's part of life. That's the essential part of life. That's what this L'chaim v'lozhin is not standing by himself. He's standing with the altar. That's what it means, l'chacht v'drachov, to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be selfless. And that's pretty amazing. We start off being the basketball player who doesn't pass. We start off being the dorm guy who grabs the bed and the mattress. We start off being all these things. But a person could grow through Limud HaTorah and Musar to eventually be selfless. Your needs come before my needs. But it takes an effort. It doesn't just happen. We don't believe you learn Torah and you'll just become a selfless person. Mustama Torah helps to some degree, but if you don't have Limud on Musar, it doesn't. If you also learn the Paskin, you need Limud on Musar. Now, let's try to give a few practical etzas, and then we'll end off with questions. Anyone wants to hawk and this? Sure, I'll give you all my time. I have to double matter at some point. Okay, I'll figure it out. Lamaisa. So how does a person become more selfless? So I thought of a few cute little etzas. One etzah is actually a spin-off. I only thought of it after. Of a story I told by Shaul Shudas a couple weeks ago. When you have a conversation with another person, right? You're schmoozing with a guy from camp. Just the first step is just to take a cheshbon nefesh, right? No, it's nice to hear a vod like this, but okay. It doesn't really apply to me. It applies to that guy. My roommate. He's this. Not me. So next time you have a conversation with a friend, maybe do me a favor. Take one of these recorders. Record it. Now, it might be a little freaky, okay? But it's okay. You're allowed to record it. I give you permission. A random conversation. Nothing crazy. Just like afterwards, do a playback and see how much of the conversation was you talking about yourself and how much of the conversation was listening about what's going on in the other guy's life. Or catching up with your friend from camp. So how much do you talk about yourself? How much are you wanting to listen to what's going on in his life? Firstly, that's a great barometer to see how selfish you are. Because a selfish person talks all about himself. I. What I'm doing, what I'm doing, what I'm doing. And we'll hear a little bit of what his friend's doing. You have it in learning too. It's so easy to see. When a guy has his pshat, he's very excited. Now you want to hear, my chavrusa, I had a different pshat. Say it again. Nachamu. You know the feeling. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to get the selfishness on chavrusa. Right. Oh, yeah. I think I found a different chavrusa. Oh, you. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you. That's a little selfish. But so one idea is just the more time a person spends with friends, just to notice how much is it about me, how much is it about you. That story that I told was Shmuel Kamenetsky sat with this college professor for 45 minutes, and not once said the word I. Because it never was about him. Shmuel Kamenetsky is the most selfless person. In fact, he has time for every nunnik who wants the bracha and say Shalom Aleichem, how are you doing, and this and that. He has time for everyone in the world with the greatest smile. I'll get to that one too. But that's what we want to be. We want to be selfless people. So how much is everything about me? How much is it really about you? I checked up Revolbi. Revolbi has these vadim. If you look in Chelik Beis of the Ali Shor, he has a lot of things, how to work practically on midos. A friend of mine used to talk to Rashiva a lot about Revolbi's stuff. And Rashiva, you know, felt Revolbi was a little too yakish. Do this three times, and this, Rashiva was like, you know, make chozik. Like, how's he know, like, that's the formula? I'm like, you know, it's a little arbitrary, and, you know, it's chenuch hamosar, but he has good stuff. So Revolbi, when he talks about the mid of chesed, how's a person become a better Baal Chesed? So first, he says the first thing is to notice what people need. But after you get past that stage, notice what people need, what's the first area of Chesed that Revolbi recommends you work on? Pick the topic of his father-in-law, Torah Savram. So you know what we should work on? Savor Panim Yafos. Greeting people the right way every morning. Don't just say, good morning, how are you? When the guy is not a morning person and wants to punch you in the nose. Don't grin when you get up for chakras the one morning and he didn't. Just understanding people and just being nice. The greatest form of selfishness, I should be careful how I say that. a great form of selfishness is walking down the hallway, seeing another person, and ignoring them. That's selfishness. Now, look, I'm caught up in my, putting my iPod in and checking my phone. You know, in Queens, I used to see the guys, the elevator, you know, going to the elevator, you know, like, busy, right? Okay, I know people don't have social skills anymore. Everyone's awkward by everything. But how could you ignore another person? So if you're Rebbe, it's awkwardness, it's not selfishness. Probably a good part of both. How could you ignore another person? And when I say ignore another person, of course it means another base manager guy. But it also means a high school guy. It means a janitor. It means anybody that you walk across, you see somebody in your path, do you not acknowledge their existence? Well, hawk, right? This guy bothers me every time. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I'm saying it's easy. But you can't live in your own world. Living in your own world is selfishness. But Rebbe, I'm thinking of the sugya. I'm thinking of the kasha. Okay, maybe. Maybe. A couple guys, maybe. I don't know. But, no, you're in your own world. Don't. Living in your own world is being selfish. Because you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu put all of us in a world of a lot of people. And people around us all the time. And Sefer Panim Yalfos is a great way to start. Just interact with people. Just say hello. Not just the guys you like. People you don't like. Everyone. Just say hi. Granted, the guy might think it's weird. Okay, so don't do it like, hello. Say, how you doing? Hi. That's it. Just acknowledge that people exist. Simple. So those are two etzos. Conversations with other people. What one should I do next? Okay, I'll give another simple example. Famous Labatka example. Right? And you see this by every pizza box. It's Pashas. What happens by the pizza box? What is the last slice to be taken? Especially here in South Florida, they're like this big. It's the most depressing, right? Unfortunately, a lot of things are depressing here. But this is the gullus of living in South Florida. We don't have a main street. We don't have Avenue J. But right. I saw them deliver the pizza the other Sunday at 12:30. I was thinking to myself, ooh, it's going to be exciting to see what the pizza looks like at 1:15 this week. Yeah. But, Louis, sir, now you're going to tell me it doesn't even matter. But, let's say you actually have guys order together, three guys order a pie. And three guys ordering a pie is always tricky. Okay. Four guys order a pie. Right? The last guy to get there, is he going to end up with the smallest slices or the biggest slices? So you don't have to answer me. I know what's going to be. But let me tell you what happened in Slobodka. This I heard from Moshe Chait. Zatzal. Moshe said it was famous in Slobodka. There they didn't have pizza. They had herring. The last guy to come down to supper had the biggest, fattest piece of herring. Huh? No. The Maisa, the pshat was, the altar did a better job than we do. The altar spoke about chesed. It's all over the book. Chesed. If every other shmooze you're hearing about is chesed, you know what? It actually has an impact. And they worked on the shmoozim, and they hocked on the shmoozim. So in Slobodka, the rach in the yeshiva was, like, it was pasnished. If you be the first guy to the box, you'd be embarrassed to take the biggest slice. Nowadays, you might walk back like a hunter from, you know, see what I got? Right? Mamish, you know, where's the trophy? You know, I got there first today. Look at these slices, you know. In Slobodka, you'd be super embarrassed. I took the biggest slices. Who do you think you are? Dafka, the biggest slices are for the last guy. To be selfish when it comes to food. Some people, they're not selfish in general, but food is a different parsha. Okay? Okay, you know? My friend asked me to save him supper. I saved him supper. By the time I finished eating, nibbling on him, the rest, you know. I saved him a little bit. right? A person has to be as much as he can to be selfless. If you work on it, like food, that's a real chashuv madrega. Finally, an idea that I think I saw Rav Obi was saying. Another etzah is we're all very good at knowing our milos. We know our milos well, right? If I had to do a resume, yeah, I could sing my praises. Okay. How good are you at singing someone else's praises? Knowing someone else's milos. You know, there's a reason people don't usually like speaking by people's shavar brachos. A few reasons. But imagine, right? This is also, it's like, it's a much of your focus, right? You focus always much on yourself. But imagine a guy a first-year guy would start with the first-year guys, then go to the second-year guys, the third-year guys. You went through every guy in yeshiva in your mind, and you figured out a mila, and not just saying, oh, he's a nice guy. No, something like real specific, like you actually spent time thinking about, a mila of every guy in yeshiva. You know what that actually make you do? You're going to have to start thinking about other people. The more you think about other people, that's l'chol achrini. That's helping out others. That's being selfless. The starting point is the word I. The goal is to get away from the I. It's to see others. Use your eyes to see, to think, what are the milas this guy has? And to do it, to be able, like, the same way you know every Tosfos, Chazring now, sure. I know every Tosfos in the first parak, like this. Okay. Name me Tangman's Milo, quick. No, there. Not. No. But to be able to do this, well, for every guy in yeshiva, to know everybody, see their Milos, that's a big deal. So, Maisa to conclude, and then I'll take questions. I think this midah, a person being self, from going from selfish to selfless, is something very doable. Look, it's a lifetime battle, and Hashem put us in situations. You get married, so you have to be, you're forced to be more selfless, otherwise ain't gonna last. You have kids, by definition you could be more selfless, for sure. But you can't just rely on the fact, I'm gonna get married, I'm gonna have kids, Hashem, Zochet have Talmidim, and then I'll become selfless. Doesn't work that way, unfortunately. Just ask the guy I dumped back then. Right, Luban told a cool story the other day about a dumping. Some girl who, by the thing, oh boy, my guys are, right, Luban said he dumped her like, okay. Careful what I say. But, Lamaisa, but the idea, I think it really is within a person's grasp. If they work in Musar, they think about it, they spend time, Chinucha Musar, whether it's talking about, listening to what other people have to say, finding their milas, letting them take the bigger portion of food, and stam, just acknowledging other people. A person does these things little by little, step by step. You're becoming more of a selfless person. And you know what? You might eventually be the type of guy that will actually take a chavrusa that might be a very good chavrusa for the guy that asked you to join, be his chavrusa. And, you know, we'll let somebody else take a little bit of the limelight while you step back a little bit. Because it's not about you. It's about helping other people. And when you recognize there are needs for other people, things, and you know what? People might actually like you even more. They'll appreciate you. You know, that's really, I'll end with this vart. The Rambam says, how do you define a Talmud Chacham? You look through the Mishnayos in Zerayim, a lot of times you use the Lashon Chaver. Chazak al Chaver, and he takes off Trumas and Maestros. So why do you call a Talmud Chacham a Chaver? Zak the Rambam, because you know who makes the best friend? A real bona fide Bal Musar Talmud Chacham. Because he really is the best friend. He's so well-rounded. He's the best person. He makes the best father, the best husband, the best Rebbe. Because he's so selfless. It's not about him. It's about everybody else. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should utilize our time in yeshiva, Musar Seder, to grow in all this. We could all become those type of people.
So when does that apply?
Shkach.
Yeah.